Morning.
It's good to be with you this morning. Good to see familiar faces. Good to see new faces. Today I want to talk about being an authentic Christian community. In our lectionary, the gospel reading from Matthew, there is acknowledgement that being part of a Christian community is not without its share of troubles and problems. People sometimes don't get along. Churches have problems, and it's not a recent phenomenon. If you read the letters to the young churches in the New Testament, the churches that formed after Christ's resurrection had many issues. For example, in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, Paul's responding to things that he's heard about in that church, including divisiveness, jealousy, quarreling, suing each other, and chaos in the worship service. Paul must have felt like the minute he left one church to travel to another, the drama began. That's not what I want to talk about today, though. I mention it mainly because this gospel reading in the lectionary today forms the basis of MCCK's reconciliation policy and the reconciliation policy of many churches. It's the other lectionary passage today that I want to talk about. Paul has written to the church in Rome. He simplifies the message of how followers of Christ are to live. He basically says, love other people as well as you love yourself. You can't go wrong when you love others. If you take the Ten Commandments and you boil them down, it's all about love. So is it just that warm, fuzzy feeling of love, that, you know, happiness mode? I don't think so. In John, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. So how is it that Jesus shows love? Through the New Testament, you see Jesus show love many times. He touches the leper. He shows compassion. He heals the sick. He accepts the outsider. He stands up for the poor, the disenfranchised, the oppressed. Jesus loves unconditionally despite the unworthiness of those being loved. Jesus forgives those who betray him. Jesus shows his love through his actions. I think we all yearn to be part of a loving community. And for those of us who are followers of Christ, we know that our core as Christians is about relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with one another. Paulo Freire, a Brazilian educator who advocated for the poor, describes love as an act of courage, a rejection of fear. And I think that's true. I think we all fear loving because it opens us. But it's impossible to practice love in isolation. We practice love as part of a community, making our mistakes as we go along. There are many types of communities. My neighborhood is a loose community of people that gets together around common issues such as how hard it is to get out on Alcoa Highway and dangerous from our neighborhood. We have potlucks and visit each other. I'm also part of another community. I do water aerobics most mornings at the Y, and we've become kind of a community. We also have potlucks. And we visit each other in the hospital for our various joint replacements. The Y I go to off Magnolia is in the same parking lot as the senior center, so there's a lot of us seniors hanging out there. But my primary community is MCCK. So who are we? At our least common denominator, we are a group of LGBT people and supporters who gather on Sunday mornings to worship God. But I believe we're much more than that. An authentic Christian community is a group of people who come together intentionally to grow spiritually, to support one another through life's trials, and to live Christ's call to act in our world today. I believe MCCK strives to be an authentic Christian community. But the really difficult thing about community is that it's made up of people. And people, not you and me, but many people, can be difficult, stubborn, self-centered, and unreliable.
Amen.
So loving others is sometimes tough. Especially when someone in the community that you love and trust hurts you, betrays you, lies about you. It's hard to forgive. But we have to love each other through our mistakes and our failures. Let's face it. And some people are easier to love. Some people we have a natural affinity for and others that we do not. And so sometimes it's loving those that we don't have that natural affinity for that is our challenge. In authentic communities, we have to slow down. We have to truly listen to each other. We take time together to reflect on our experiences, to share our doubts, to share our hopes. We have to suspend judgment, realizing that no one single person has all the answers. As we share openly, with love and without fear, a Christian call to action inevitably emerges. Yes, authentic community is difficult, but in those moments when we achieve it, we truly experience the kingdom of God on earth. Because authentic community elevates us, it brings us into closer relationship with God. And as Jesus promises us, when we gather in this way, amazing things happen because Jesus is in our midst. As we envision our congregation's future and prepare to call a new pastor, we have an opportunity to think about ourselves as community in new and different ways. Rusty and I shared an article recently about how young people are leaving churches in record numbers, though they yearn for two things, a sense of community and an opportunity to serve. So why in the world do they not find community and an opportunity to serve in church? We're a college town. Can we be the kind of church where young people, really all people, can share their stories, feel that sense of belonging, grow in relationship with God, and become a part of a community that serves? And how do we want our community to be viewed going forward? Do we want to be the gay church, the Christian church, as a place where everyone, and I mean everyone, feels that sense of belonging? A place where you can serve God by serving the poor and the oppressed? How will we act to achieve justice for all God's people? This congregation has been a force for good for many years. We have persevered through violence, arson, picket lines, and our beautiful gay men being wiped out by AIDS. We've stood on the side of all oppressed people. And we've had amazing experiences. I've been participating in the Living the Questions Bible study, and Brother Bob stressed that the prophets did not just live in biblical times. There are prophets today. Certainly, we think of Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi when we think of today's prophets. But I also believe there are a couple of prophets who have actually spoken in front of this congregation. Reverend Troy Perry, who started this church, and Reverend Mel White, who started Soul Force, have stood among our midst and prophesied of a future when God's LGBT people would know that they were loved by God just the way they were, and prophesied that one day LGBT people would be welcome in every church. We're not there by far, but we're moving forward. I've been part of this church for more than 20 years. It's been an amazing journey with its ups and downs and turns and twists. I've seen literally thousands of hurting people come through these doors, learn of God's love, experience community, and become disciples of Christ. I've witnessed miracles of healing. I have in these very doors. I've seen the power of following Jesus' call to feed the hungry. I'm touched by delivering those baskets of food and meeting those people and forming relationships with them. I have witnessed our saints in action, such as Mike Irwin and the deacon's role he played, Dale Watermulder's leadership of the Gay and Lesbian Helpline, and Rick Sawyer's leadership of the Gay Men's Group for so many years. I've been changed by this community. I have more courage. I'm a little less defensive. I'm more committed, but I am a work in progress. I thank you for accepting me, and I will forever be in gratitude to be part of this authentic community. So as we envision our future, who do we want to become? How will we be community first to one another and then to those who do not yet know us? How will we practice love in this world? I know one thing. If we achieve only a fraction of what we're capable of being as Christ's authentic community, our congregation will never have to worry about how the bills are paid. We will instead be talking about how we're going to invest God's abundance in our mission of love. I think over the next few months, we're going to have an opportunity to rethink who we are, how we're going to be community to each other, how those who walk through our doors will experience us, and how we will practice our love. I believe that every single person here today and those that are missing offers a unique perspective and a unique role. So I think each of us has something to contribute to building that vision of the future. And I hope we can start thinking about that, because I believe we'll have an opportunity to come together and be that authentic community of Christ in our world today. Thank you.